very warm welcome to The Offside Rule. It's me, Kate Borsay, in the hot seat, joined by none other than journalist, reporter, voiceoverer, and occasional fire safety officer, Lindsay Hooper.
I don't think I can top you for energy, though, can I, after that Liverpool result? Hello.
More on that in just a second, but let's not forget our second guest, subbing in for Hayley McQueen, it is commentator, reporter and martial arts expert Robin Cowan.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm absolute privilege and honour to be in the presence of such football royalty.
Well, talking of football royalty, we are honoured, aren't we? We feel like the kings and queens of football here in England at the moment after those Champions League performances from both Liverpool and Spurs. I'm an emotional wreck. I'm sweaty. I feel like I've onset the menopause early because I haven't stopped being hot since Liverpool played the other night. What an amazing couple of days.
I don't know how you felt being a fan of one of the teams, because as a neutral, it was brilliant to watch.
Absolutely.
It was
just... No, I felt a bit jealous, actually, of Spurs and Liverpool fans, because it was incredible as a neutral, as you say, Lindsay. But to be a fan, I mean, that must have been an emotional roller coaster.
It was insane, I have to say. And I was desperate to get to sleep because I had to be up at 3:30 the next morning. And obviously that all went out the window as soon as Liverpool went 2-0 up. I was like, right, this is it. I've got to last this one out. And I did not regret getting about 4.5 hours sleep at all. The fact that I've not had much more since just goes to reinforce my crazed state this morning. So watch out, podcast listeners. I am liable to drop a few clangers, give you a few moments of emotion. Maybe I'll break down in tears like Pochettino.
But you talking about that, did anybody else, when I saw Pochettino crying, it made me start to well up. I'm that sort of person. If I see someone cry, I get emotional. If
Every
I see
time.
Someone vomit, I want to vomit. That sort of thing.
Exactly the same. I think my favourite tweet was someone comparing him to the father of a bride at a wedding at about 2 a.m, you know, about to tie his tie around his head, just completely emotional, maybe slightly drunk. It was just incredible.
Can we also pick up on the fact that in your intro for Robin, you mentioned the martial arts?
Yes.
Which is true, because we glanced over that and people might think, what? That was a funny introduction. But actually, Robin, you are a black belt, aren't you?
I am indeed, yes. And so
I'm going to mind myself here. I'm right next to her.
Because you're less than 0.5 metre away.
It's all right, I have short arms.
And relating this back to football, I know this is intriguing. So we all, as women in football, get asked from time to time, have you ever had a situation where you've been treated unfairly when you've got to a football stadium or something like that? And I once upon a time turned up at Swansea and they tried to direct me to the kitchen.
What?
Yeah. Oh my word.
So I you know, you're turning up at the press entrance,
I mean,
and they're like, but the kitchen's this way.
I know that you were reporting and you were obviously going to be working in the kitchen afterwards, obviously, but that's a little bit strong, isn't it, to send you to the kitchen first before you'd done your
and
reporting
And if anyone
duties.
Knew my culinary skills, they'd know that's not where I belong. So Robin, I hear that once you walked up to somewhere and there was a very big gentleman there and he refused you access.
Ooh.
Is this right?
I can't remember this.
And that in your mind you were thinking, I could kill you with one move.
Yes, no, I think I do remember that actually. Yeah, and it's a great psychological tool to have. Mm. If anyone sort of really annoys you or says something, you just think, I could kill you.
Yes.
And it's really reassuring.
Yeah. Don't mess with Robin Cowan
now.
When you
I'm
see her in a press box.
Now. More on the Champions League later, as Liverpool fans desperately try and replicate where they were on the 25th of May 2005. It's important to set everything in line, of course, for the final, where they meet Spurs, who celebrate their first ever outing in the final of the Champions League. It was even enough, by the way, to eclipse the royal baby birth in my household. Lots of chat about that as well. Unconfirmed reports that Harry and Meghan gained inspiration from Scottish football legend Archie Gemmell for the naming of their first son. You've both been watching Nuno become a doctor?
We were both at the same match, weren't we, last Saturday?
Yeah, that's right, last Saturday, the final home game of Wolves. And what a celebration it was.
Oh, and speaking of emotions, because obviously they are my team, it was very difficult when the season we've had not to get wrapped up in that moment, because there was a lot pre-match, including this build-up. So I'd actually, earlier that week, been up to Molyneux Stadium to host the University of Wolverhampton Sports Awards, where they told me that Nuno was going to be made a doctor at 2:30. So I knew that was coming and I was in my place ready to watch. And of course, it gives you a little bit of banter to have with him, doesn't it, down the tunnel? I was like, hi, Dr. Nuno. He went, don't.
So modest.
I was wanting someone to ask him, oh, could you just take a look at this rash for me?
Yeah.
After?
Yeah.
But it was incredible because I didn't know. And he came out with the full regalia, didn't he?
Apart from the hat, because they gave him the hat as part of the presentation. But I was doing one. I was like, so where's the hat? Where's the hat?
He didn't kind of wear his Wolves tracksuit underneath the robes.
I think he did actually, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did.
A little pair of trainers peeking out the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to Dr. Nuno, of course, of Wolves for becoming a doctor, but not of the medical kind. Anyone know what he's a doctor of?
Is it sport? Just doctor? I think it's an honorary degree in sport.
Oh, well, that's a cop-out, isn't it? For goodness sake.
And also, this was at Molyneux. Now, I don't know whether you saw this part where all the media were parking at Molyneux.
Probably not. I'm not very observant.
Okay. So I saw a car and I thought, Kate Borsay actually here has a personalised number plate,
don't you?
God, you
sound like such a tool.
Do you really?
It was a 30th birthday present to my other half 10 years ago. And it just has, well, I'm not going to repeat it, but it basically has the letters K and D in it and then 30. Okay. So that it doesn't say like princess or something, or like, you know, I don't know, flash car driver,
LFC.
Whatever.
So yeah. Parked in the compound at Molyneux, I walked past a very interesting personalised number plate.
Oh.
Poo for Lou.
Oh, goodness.
Poo for Lou.
Poo for Lou.
Why would you, though?
Why? I don't understand. I don't understand personalised number plates anyway, I have to say. But
that is
to have poo
that's another
for
level.
Lou.
Have you always had beef with my number plate and never told me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, really?
Well, no, I mean, it was nice that it was for your 30th.
Yeah.
But I remember when you told me about it and I did think,
chav.
We're reopening old wounds here.
This is how long we've known each other.
It is. It's the first I'm hearing about it today, Robin. Well, Lindsay, I think we should put those two pictures up on our Instagram account so people can see.
And Twitter, we'll put it on Twitter.
Well, yeah,
as well.
And then you can have a listening, seeing experience of us, which is brilliant. Our Instagram account, at Offside Rule Pod. It's the same for Twitter, so give us a follow on there. And don't forget to subscribe to the Offside Rule podcast as well, so you never miss an episode. All right, coming up today, bit of a regal one, ladies, as I mentioned earlier. We're going to be looking ahead to Sunday's finale, a Royal Rumble, if you will, in the Premier League title race, and casting our eye over the Lioness squad picks for France, featuring Prince Wills. Oh yes, but there's only one place to start, right?
That's it! History made at Anfield! Barcelona beaten! Liverpool triumphant! Messi mashed on Merseyside! Miracles do happen for Liverpool in Europe! It's glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur! In the most amazing Champions League semi-final that most of us have ever seen!
It's the comeback kings. Oh yes, Champions League. Holy forking shirt balls. Thank you, Abby, for that. Liverpool, Tottenham, now I can proclaim them the comeback kings of Europe. Tottenham trailing 3-0 on aggregate at the break, only for Lucas Moura to complete a stunning hat-trick, winning in the 96th minute of the game. Liverpool 3-0 down against European titans Barcelona going into Tuesday night's second leg to score 4. And just like when you queue up for your favourite ice cream and the person in front of you buys the last one, they snatched it away from Barcelona to create an all-English final. Quick straw poll. Robin, Lindsay, which game was more memorable?
Oh, that is very tough. I think just because it came second, the Spurs one, because you just thought, well, it's not going to happen again. We've seen Liverpool. But to have two in a row like that, and I think, in carrying on with your ice cream analogy, I think Barcelona just dropped theirs.
That's true.
They completely capitulated. It was unbelievable. Liverpool didn't even have to play very well. The goals were shocking, especially the corner kick. Obviously, it was fantastic. Mm. Trent Alexander-Arnold. But I think Luis Suarez says he'd be upset if his little boys' team conceded a goal like that.
And he actually came out and apologised, didn't he, afterwards,
absolutely,
to Barcelona fans. Mm.
Whereas the Ajax team, I still think they played pretty well, didn't they? But Spurs just absolutely overran them.
I know what you mean, but I just think when you look back over time, go through the history books, and you see that a team was trailing 3-0 to Barcelona in the first leg and managed to get through to that final by winning 4-0, preventing them scoring when they had Lionel Messi in the team. I think over history, I think this week, the Spurs result probably is more lasting in our minds, but over history, I think the Liverpool result will be.
Here's another one for you both. Robin Cowan, Lindsay Hooper. Would Spurs have happened, would that game have happened, if Liverpool hadn't done what they did in their game the night before?
Interestingly, Danny Rose, I was watching all the post-match interviews afterwards because I've just been completely like enthralled in all of the football this week, much to my other half's annoyance. So I've just been watching it for hours. And in those post-match interviews, eventually, I think Des Kelly got Danny Rose over, and Danny Rose said, "We watched Liverpool yesterday and that inspired us." And he was the first one to say that. But I think the Liverpool result probably did give them that confidence and belief that they could overturn that result.
I agree, yeah. And actually, I think Mauricio Pochettino said it himself, didn't he? He said, "Look, we can do this." I think what's also interesting is that obviously Liverpool were 3-0 down ahead of the whole game,
yes,
weren't they?
Mm. I agree.
Whereas
with this.
Tottenham, it was only 1-0. You thought, well, that's all right. But at half time, obviously, they were out completely.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said about you've got nothing to lose here. Both sides had that feeling at different times, but they both delivered.
Yeah, and if you pick one against the other, of course, Tottenham turned it around in a quicker amount of time, didn't they, than Liverpool did. Well, that Spurs win poses so many questions for me. If Harry Kane is fit, would you now play him in the final?
He looked pretty fit at the end, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and at half-time. Players from Ajax and Spurs covered between them a combined 232 kilometres of the pitch during that game, with 40 attempts on goal. And my other question is, Poch now the soppiest manager in the Premier League?
For the people that support us in that moment, it's amazing to reward them. Thank you, and we need to be ready now for the next game Sunday and then to prepare the final in Madrid.
Yes, and I love it. Absolutely love it.
Well, you're lucky that that's audio and I'm not watching him visually again, because otherwise I'd start.
You're going to break into tears, aren't you?
Yeah, I would.
Do you know what? Quickly, I am like that so much. If I see the cheesiest, most rubbish, and I'm talking like a Danielle Steele film remake that's on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, I'm blubbing.
Blubbering Rex, that's what we'd all be. Just picking up on your earlier question that you posed, because I'm a neat person, I like to answer anything that you've put forward.
Thank you.
You asked about whether, you know, Harry Kane should play in the final. And of course, if he's fit, I would say that he will do. What I wanted to say is an observation of Lucas Moura, and what a stunning hat trick, by the way. I loved how he'd got the ball under his top as if he was pregnant, like our Hayley McQueen, carrying it around.
Copycat.
I know. But I thought that his footwork, and under the pressure that he was under in that semi-final, was exquisite. The second goal in particular, that ball was stuck to his feet, and the defenders just could not get it away from him. I know that the ball had been spilled out, but that goal in particular was so impressive. And I found that over the two legs with these English teams, and I wonder whether that's a reflection of the standard in the Premier League now. Because either in the Liverpool match as well, I felt that Jeannie Wijnaldum, again, another unsung hero, I suppose, going throughout the whole season, but his footwork was exquisite as well. You know, when people can play and the ball looked like it is glued to the side of their foot.
Yes, there was something about
magical about that. And we always talk about it with Messi and we wax lyrical about it.
Yeah.
And nobody would say, Lucas Moura or Jeannie Wijnaldum, but actually they deserve so much credit for it.
Was Lucas Moura an unexpected hero for you, Robin?
He was a little bit, although actually it's been pointed out he scored a lot of big goals this season. So, yes, unexpected. I guess we all thought that, you know, Son was coming back. The whole narrative was around Son because he was suspended for the first leg, and he actually had a pretty ineffective game for him anyway. So, yeah, I think he was slightly unexpected. But, yeah, I completely agree with you, Lindsay. We kind of associate technical ability with only some players, and I think it's actually more widespread than you think.
And also, I think we only in the past have associated it with European, in particular Spanish teams. Mm. And, you know, to see two English teams, an all-English final, producing that sort of quality, I really was proud. I was proud as an English Premier League stalwart that loves the league and has covered it for many years, like Robin and yourself. And I think it just makes you proud that this is the football that's on our doorstep. It's here. We're watching it every week.
Well, Moura was the last player that Spurs bought in January last year.
Wow.
Yes. That is a pretty insane fact, isn't it? A bit of reaction on that game. Matthijs de Ligt said, "It's a nightmare like a dream," he said. "It's a nightmare like a dream. We played well in the first half. We had it all our way. We didn't keep up the same pressure in the second half. We gave silly goals away. We were so close." Henry Winter, Mauricio Pochettino was breathing heavily. He said, "Absolutely drained, his jacket discarded, his tie loosened and ripped off. This is what football does to people. It shreds the emotions and clothes."
You have to feel for Ajax, don't you? Those scenes after Lucas Moura's goal went in, just absolutely poleaxed on the floor, weren't they?
They were. Well, James Ollie, who works for the Evening Standard, he's on Twitter. He managed to get a photograph from where his viewpoint was, and it was just after Lucas Moura had scored that goal in the 96th minute, and you see three players flat out on the deck, I think at least three. You see Mauricio Pochettino on the floor in the bottom right-hand corner. This is just a normal phone photograph, but it just sums
wonderful.
up. yeah, it sums up the occasion so much.
Pochettino, Robin, said just casually, just threw it in there in his press conference before the game, that if they were to win the whole thing, the Champions League, he would just leave.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to take that, really.
it was a bit odd.
It is interesting, isn't it? Because actually, in football, so few stories for managers in particular end well, don't they? You've got Sir Alex Ferguson, you could argue, well, he won the title and then left. Great ending for him. But most of them end in disaster, you know, humiliation, that sort of thing. And actually, possibly if they did win the Champions League and he left, his legacy is completely spotless then, isn't it, really?
I suppose so. But you wouldn't, would you?
He made a mistake, though. You know, he declared this prior to the match. So that is not going to be the team talk that the Spurs players need, because I imagine they want him to stay around for quite a while. So if they're taking that seriously, maybe Harry Kane will come on, but only half fit, half swing at something and never, ever be on target.
Apparently, Harry Kane had a real pop at the players at halftime. You know, had a real, real go. And one of the team were just saying that he absolutely put the rocket up them. And that's how important it is, I guess, to have Harry Kane still with the team, travelling with the team in that situation, and how impressive and what influence he has, even though they've arguably performed really well without him. He's still so central.
Not enough influence, though, to deliver the message that Steph Horton had been selected as the Lionesses' captain. One England captain to another. Anyone else a bit aggrieved about that?
Well, she did get Prince William.
No.
More on that in just a second. Let's talk Liverpool. Stand up Divock Origi. He's the hero of Merseyside, the new Vladimir Smisa. Well, perhaps not really, but so much better than Vladimir Smisa. Jonathan Liu for The Independent wrote, this is Liverpool's gift, to rip up what you thought you knew about football and footballers, to take you mentally and physically to a place you don't know and never wanted to go. The corner of shame was how that Trent Alexander-Arnold corner was described by Spanish paper El Mundo. And Barcelona were pathetic, wrote the author Juan Cruz, as if the only thing in their heads was like a monkey hitting a drum, like in The Simpsons, possessed by ineptitude, shame-marking every goal, a soulless team led by no one.
I want us to get behind the campaign that is gathering a little momentum. I saw it on the Daily Mail. I retweeted it myself. I'm sure you'll have seen. To get the ball boy tickets to the final. Because yes. The ball boy, without that ball boy... They honestly, he was as much of a part of that as Trent Alexander-Arnold and Origi was. His quick thinking was brilliant. And I thought that straight away, because how many matches have you been at? When we're doing Premier League productions and we're doing the interviews around the world, often we get a seat right near to the bench. So I hear the managers quite a lot, and they are always lambasting the ball boys. Can you move quickly? I mean, Neil Warnock at Cardiff, I thought he was going to burst a blood vessel at one of the poor ball boys recently, because they were so languid and slow at returning the ball, even if they were the home team. And to see that is how to be a ball boy or girl.
That is the absolute peak ball boy, isn't it?
Yeah. That needs to go straight in the ball boy instruction manual, right?
Or ball girl, yes.
Ball girl, yes. Ball person. One of my favourite bits was Wijnaldum's second goal, and someone just simply wrote on Twitter, like a salmon. Which I thought was amazing. Great, great header. Apparently Klopp said to the players beforehand, this is impossible, but with you... it's possible. How does he get it so right? I mean, he is the ultimate man manager, right?
That is the quote, isn't it? I mean, speaking of blubbing, when I heard that, I was gone. Honestly, it's just perfect man management, isn't it?
That's the thing when you say about man management, it's both of these managers. It's Jurgen Klopp, it's Mauricio Pochettino. They are both so good at it. That arm round shoulder, that, you know, one-on-one time. I was also reading about the fact that Pochettino spent so much time with Dele Alli one-on-one. Was it on the bench or in the dugout, I think, post-match, just having a chat with, and he literally goes round one by one, and they both do that. So it's going to be really hard to separate for the final, because they are both kings. Both kings.
They certainly are. All right, predictions. June the 1st, Madrid. Who is going to do it, Robin Cowan?
I think Liverpool will go in as favourites, won't they? But I think the fact that Spurs have managed to turn this around, and it's a good long while, isn't it? So they'll have a rest. They might get a few players back. It's going to be really tough to call. But I think just because Liverpool, they have better strength in depth, don't they? They'll have Mo Salah back. this was the other thing. They did this without Mo Salah and Firmino.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just think they might edge it. But you never know, because Mauricio Pochettino has shown that he can pull something out of the bag.
I've done calculations for this. There's actually, like, to give you some logic to what I'm going to say.
Go on.
If you look back over this season, Liverpool have beaten Spurs twice, 2-1. Add in that extra special factor. It's the Champions League final. You double it, 4-2. Liverpool are going to win.
Okay, all right. So there you go. We need to write that down somewhere. 4-2 win for Liverpool.
Very forensic,
says Lindsay.
By the way, we're going to be in France, Robin. Robin and I will be in France when this is happening.
So will I. And I'm desperate, of course, to try and get a ticket to go to Madrid. I'm in France and I'm thinking I've got a much better chance of travelling from Toulouse or Bordeaux, where I'll be near, to get.
Do you want to come to us and watch it all together? Out in France.
Where are you then?
I think I might choose being there over spending it with you. Much as I love you.
This is the Offside Rule from Muddy Knees Media.
All right, another team looking for glory next, this time on the global stage. Arise, the Lionesses. On Wednesday, this is how we found out who was in the squad.
It gives me great pleasure to be able to announce that England's defensive rock and captain, Steph Horton, will be on the plane to France.
Carly Telford.
Karen Bardley.
Tony Duggan.
Jade Moore.
Ellen White.
Rachel Daly. Fran
Kirby. Nikita Paris.
Alex Greenwood.
It's you, Jill Scott.
Millie Bright.
Stanley.
Leah Williamson.
Abby McManus.
Beth Mead.
Josie Taylor.
Lucy Staniforth.
Mary Earps.
Lucy Bonds.
I know you and the team will do the nation proud. Good luck.
So the England squad, they're announced by 23 celebrity fans, according to the Lionesses' Twitter account. Special shout out to Demi Stokes, who suffered a silent Emma Watson announcement, which doesn't work very well in the audio, obviously, and Kira Walsh, who was masked by music from Monkey. Monkey.
I'm getting acquainted.
You are now.
Monkey started following me on Instagram, so I follow back, so I'm getting acquainted now.
I had a total boof moment about that, by the way. And if you weren't listening last week, to have a buff moment is just when you don't know who they are. Mm. So,
how many moments did you have watching these videos?
I had a few buff moments.
Yes. You're going to find out how out of touch we are when you ask me who would be your dream celebrity announcer. That's when you're going to find out.
Okay.
But is it Attenborough?
Oh, I'd love that. That's a great idea.
Brilliant.
Jordan Pickford announcing goalkeeper Karen Bardsley. Clearly reading off a piece of paper, Jordan. Honestly.
You could not remember the amount of words saying, Karen Bardsley, you're going to the World Cup.
A few words. And with all the talk of a royal baby, what a relief to hear Uncle William say, England's defensive rock, in such a posh way. I've never heard defensive rock said in so posh a manner before.
See, I think it was nice to hear from Prince William, but just to, you know, labour the point that I made earlier, I actually think it would have been nice for him to just give a general message to the team of good luck in France. You know, now you know who's in the team at the end.
Really got beat.
Harry Kane
should
have done it. He's the captain. He's the men's England captain. You've got Raheem Sterling doing one. You've got, like, former captain David Beckham doing one. We want the current captain. Surely he should have done one, Harry Kane.
Yeah, it's a nice idea, because I like the fact that Jordan Pickford's sort of passed the baton over to Karen Bardsley, although we're not absolutely sure she's going
to... The gloves
yes. Oh, she's going to be the number one. We're not sure. But I was speaking to someone yesterday and they actually felt a bit uncomfortable. I don't know if uncomfortable is the right word, but they felt actually having the male players deliver it to the female players perhaps could see as a bit undermining.
Really?
Yeah.
I
disagreed, because actually when you think back to when the male team was announced, it was announced by kids, wasn't it?
Yeah.
From all their different where they came from.
Yes.
So no, I thought that was all right. And I think because the men performed so brilliantly at the World Cup, it's almost, they say, passing the baton over.
And let's face it, the men's team could afford to have kids telling them, because it didn't matter about their social reach. But as Phil Neville pointed out in the press conference, I think it's something like 180 million people potentially have been reached by those people who announced. So it is about spreading the word. And from that point of view, I applaud it. And I think it's brilliant. And we just take it in the jest and the fun that it was meant to be.
Yeah. Ellie Goulding, Dan Walker, Nick Bright, Alan Shearer, Ian Wright, David Beckham. Wouldn't you have loved to be the David Beckham?
I think Nikita Paris she lucked out, didn't she?
Lucky Nikita. So who would be your ideal announcer, Robin?
Do you know what? It was one of the people who did it for the England squad.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Shearer.
Really?
He was my idol growing up. Yeah, I had it because I'm from Oxford. I didn't have any affiliation with Newcastle. But I had a Newcastle brown ale shirt when I was 7, 8 years old, Shearer on the back.
Do you know what? Newcastle was trendy. If you're about the same age as me, it was trendy to support Newcastle. The whole brown ale thing was actually a thing. I think didn't WH Smith even produce like binders and pencil cases, which is when you know it's a trend.
Yes.
So we were buying beer pencil cases and folders.
Taking them to school.
Going to primary school.
For our academic studies at the age of 7.
So Lucy Staniforth got Alan Shearer and I'm well gel. That's what I'm saying.
Lynn's.
So my one, I only had a conversation with a makeup artist this week about these pair. It would have to be Kylie and Jason together.
Oh, wow.
And if they could sing Especially For You whilst delivering
how
the
about
news.
Especially for hoops.
I would love it. I was the biggest.
To make to you. You're in the England team at number 2.
Oh, wow.
Number 2?
No, I don't know.
Right back? No?
No, I wasn't a right back. I was midfielder.
It was the only thing that rhymed with you.
Yeah, okay. But I have
22.
To say that they are still, to this day, a couple of celebrities that I would get really starstruck by, because I don't really get that. I think most people that I've met and I thought that I was going to have it with, I didn't. Like Take That once, and I thought because I was 13 had them on my wall I might get a little butterfly, but I didn't because they were really faded by then and I'd grown up. But because Kylie and Jason, when it's your childhood, you know, when you're 5, 6 and that is what you live and breathe. I used to watch Neighbours on repeat on VHS, recreate the scenes with my Barbie and Ken.
God,
the
I
wedding
used to do
scene.
That with my sisters. We used to recreate. We used to write our own as well. We were so sad.
Bedspreads, pillows. I had a Kylie pillow I slept with.
You must have, because I'm about, around 5 years older than you. And I have to say, it didn't quite hit me in that way. But my favourite bit was when Jane had the transformation. Do you remember Mike and Jane? That was Guy, the Australian actor Guy.
Yeah.
What's his face?
Pierce.
And when Jane had her transformation from specky schoolgirl, because I used to wear specs, into glam. And I still remember the outfit. She had
we
a white
lost
dress.
So
a
many
red
of
belt.
Our younger listeners right now, they are like, what on earth are they
look
talking
it
about?
Up.
But look,
it up.
Look up the wedding scene between Scott and Charlene on Neighbours.
Yes.
And just know that I watched it probably a thousand times. And if that could have been delivered, that I was also going to be playing for England. Wow, that would have been every box ticked.
Well, I would have had no surprises, Jurgen Klopp, but because he wouldn't do something for you like that without truly meaning every word.
Are you saying Kylie and Jason wouldn't? Because I think you find they would.
All right, let's talk about the team. Happy with the choices, the obvious omissions. Farrah Williams, Izzy Christiansen, Wolfsburg's Mary Earps. She was handed that third goalkeeper spot, which was a bit of a contentious one, taking that ahead of Man City's Ellie Roebuck. And no place for US-born Orlando Pride forward Chioma Ubagagu.
Farrah Williams, let's talk about that one first. I know that she wouldn't have got that much game time now in the twilight of her career, but I think there is an argument that in that dressing room, she is technically very astute as well and very good football brain. I think she would have added something by being there.
I agree. I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you don't want to put someone on the plane if you know they're not going to play much. But I agree, her experience would be valuable. And I think particularly in that midfield, we've lost Jordan Nobbs. That's just such a huge, huge blow. And I'm just worried a little bit about the midfield. That's the only thing. Although having said that, Jade Moore, who I'm so pleased is going,
she's so impressive.
Was unbelievable in the last game against Spain. Absolutely brilliant. So she will be that rock. But I agree, I think they could use Farrah Williams just being around in and around the dressing room, couldn't they?
And I think Izzy Christiansen, you accept. I mean, she's a very talented player, but she's been coming back from a problem and isn't quite there, hasn't quite got the game time in either. And when you look at the selections that Phil Neville has made, it has been on recent form and recent performances. So I think she would accept that. You know, that's just a little bit like Jordan Nobbs.
I have to butt in here and say that one of our fellow journo friends has spent some time with Izzy, and I think she was pretty much fit. She
Phil
was,
Neville did say she's fit, but he basically said
lack of game time,
and the other midfielders have performed better. That's
Do you know what,
what
though? Izzy moved into St George's Park to get herself fit for this. She lock, stock and barrel took this so seriously. So I do feel really gutted for her because she's there in fitness, but obviously not in game time. But I just wonder if she continues to keep fighting, to keep improving.
Oh, there's her plenty
fitness.
More tournaments ahead for her.
Yeah.
And you
would
don't
she
know,
be on the reserve list though?
I think
or,
she is. Yeah. Did he say yeah. there was seven players or
so
something?
13
on the...
players on that reserve list. Any other surprise selections? I agree that Jade Moore, this will be a great tournament. She is such an underrated player, Robin. She really is. And when you look at her performance against Spain in the recent warm-up game, I think she will absolutely come into her own. Jodie Taylor, what about Jodie's inclusion?
I mean, she was fantastic in the last World Cup, a real breakout star.
Yeah.
And then she got the golden boot, didn't she,
at the Euros.
I mean, I just think you need to bring her because she's an absolute, she's a finisher. But not only that, when I saw at the She Believes Cup, she set up two goals in the game against Japan. So she's pretty much an all-round player. Mm. Her fitness has always been an issue throughout her career. But that's the thing, actually, looking at the squad, out-and-out strikers, it's just Jodie Taylor and Ellen White, really. The rest sort of play wide. So there's not an awful lot of choice there.
No, I think the most closely contested position, though, was the decision between Abby McManus or Gemma Bonner. Yeah. And I think that would have been the most difficult one for Phil Neville to make. Gemma Bonner's now, you know, 27. She might get another crack at one more World Cup, but I did feel for her. And she's captain material as well, a leader.
Yeah, I just think that, particularly that centre-half position, we are so strong there, aren't we? And I think Abby McManus, in terms of playing for England, whenever she's played under Phil Neville, she's not really put a foot wrong.
No,
so I think that's
true.
The difference.
Great to see Leah Williamson in there as well. You know, so talented and a young player. So she'll be certainly one to look out for, one to watch, one to inspire the younger generation, and also Beth Mead as well.
And a couple of names that have missed out that I just wanted to give a particular mention to from watching WSL this year, Beth England Ellie Roebuck. I think both of those...
Roebuck's actually played more WSL games than Karen Bardsley. They play for the same team. But I just think she's 19. She's got another
time.
One who's going to she's going to be in number one, I'm sure, in the next few years.
Both of those players missing out. Finally, Lucy Bronze. She's in with the defenders. Do we assume that Phil Neville's experiment of playing her in midfield is now over?
Not sure, really.
Ooh.
I mean, I think she might play there in an emergency. It's certainly not her best position, is it?
No.
I think it's just because she's so athletic that she could play pretty much anywhere, but... right back. She is the best in the world,
but not a bad backup having Rachel Daly as well there. And Rachel, did anybody see that clip with Marta where she nearly stabbed Rachel Daly's foot with a corner flag?
No.
If you've not seen that yet. It is unreal. This is Marta, the best player that we've ever known in the women's game. Looked like she really threw her toys out the pram as she was like stabbing this corner flag in and nearly got Rachel Daly's foot. So we very nearly didn't have her in the team.
Impaled on the turf.
How realistic is the chance of England bringing it home?
It's really hard because as someone who was born and raised in England, it's so hard to battle against the ingrained pessimism, isn't it? Especially when it comes to football. So you're always a bit tentative. But I think semi-finals at the very least from this team.
I think semi-finals. I'm going to give a caveat to this because I know that...
Oh, Lindsay. I mean, can you not just stand by it?
No, I'm going to give a caveat in the sense of I will stand firm on what I say, but it's because it's slightly disappointing news because I'm going to say fourth, right?
Okay.
But the reason is that although I think the standard of WSL, of English players, has gone through the roof, I think we've really ignored how many other countries have improved drastically.
Have also raised their game. I totally agree.
And I think there will be a surprise. I think there will be a surprise team in those semi-finals, but I think we will not get the third place that we did last time because of that.
There's going to be a Women's World Cup show, by the way, from the Offside Rule. You'll get to hear that from June onwards. We're so excited. We'll be doing some previews. Lindsay, you're going to be out there. Robin, you're going to be out there as well.
Yes.
And your first game's China.
China against Germany. So
good luck with those names.
Yeah, thanks for that. I'm going to be fine, I'm sure.
Have you started already?
Yes, it's going to take at least a month.
Cement those in, please do. Scotland, let's not forget, make their first World Cup appearance. It's exciting to see four debutants, Scotland among them, out in France. And I'm feeling a bit miffed because they've got a World Cup song already. Listen to this. No mistaking who that song's about. Written by singer-songwriter Linny Carson, and she teamed up with Scottish singer Horse.
Well, I don't think you should be miffed at all by that. You said,
where's our
I'm
song?
Miffed by this. Well, they took the initiative and they made one.
True.
Where's the
true.
England supporters that are doing it? Shall we make one?
they won't want that, Lindsay.
No. Based on my history of singing on this podcast, I suggest no.
Maybe you could get your friend Buff, or I can try and get... What was Monkey.
Your new best friend.
It's not all about the Women's World Cup. In the women's game, of course, last weekend saw the Women's FA Cup final, a 3-0 win for Manchester City over West Ham. I took my daughter and her friend. Look, it was quite chilly. They definitely wanted a hot chocolate at halftime. Her friend was brilliant, Scarlett. Molly sat there for most of the game and actually paid more attention than last year. And, you know, this is... I can't force it on her, can
You're
I?
You're trying.
But she's not the biggest football fan, okay?
She isn't, but we're trying. Between us, Auntie Lynn's and
you
Kate.
You will watch this.
This is it. But can I just say, I really miss being there with you, because we've always gone to the FA Cup final together, haven't we? And then the clash with the men's games, obviously our sort of day job as well, of covering the Premier League. So we were both at Molineux. Yeah. Of course, I really miss not being there, and I really hope that next year it doesn't clash like that.
Well, let's hear from a couple of the players who were involved in that game in a moment. The victorious Jill Scott from Man City, but first, West Ham's Claire Rafferty.
Maybe our inexperience, our inability to manage the game a little bit better than we should have. But yeah, I mean, no one expected us to be there in the first season, so we can take positives from that.
I think just at the end of it, you're just kind of relieved that you've got your hands on the trophy. So I'm so happy. These past couple of days, I've been like an excited child, to be honest. Just being here at Wembley, playing at this fantastic ground, and then topping it off with the win in front of all your family and friends. It's just a fantastic day for everyone.
Well, thanks to the Offside Rules' Tom Dean for grabbing those interviews for us. Bringing it back to the Lionesses, if you live in the South or are near or can travel, get yourselves to the Amex on Saturday the 1st of June, 1 o'clock. Phil Neville's team taking on New Zealand. £10 for adults, £1 for over 65s and under 21s. A great way to build up to the Champions League final in the men's game, of course. All right, up next, we're going to ready ourselves for the final battle of the Premier League season.
Hello, I'm Caroline Barker, and you can find me on the Totally Football League show. And this week we're talking this.
It's not better than Someone in the Bushes, though.
No.
Can't be.
This.
No, I would argue that Derek Adams and Kevin Bond maybe didn't stay cool ahead of the weekend games.
And this.
Love going to Sheffield United. It's one of the best noises you hear outside the Premier League.
Is that generic enough for you? That's the Totally Football League show with this. Available every Tuesday. Just hit subscribe and download on your preferred podcast app to listen to more of our dulcet tones.
One more match to go. Two teams fighting it out for the title. 1 point separating them, Manchester City and Liverpool. It's less of a race with both sides winning, but every Liverpool fan will be praying for City to drop points against Brighton, whilst Liverpool have the trickier task of taking on Lindsay Hooper's Wolves.
Woohoo!
Although Wolves have got nothing to play for,
no,
right?
So we have seventh place. I don't know whether we covered this in this podcast yet. We have seventh place. It's been confirmed, which is good news. Which is good news for you, Kate, and all Liverpool fans. And also, in the post match area last week, Connor Cody came out, and
he's a big Liverpool fan.
Big Liverpool fan. So my final question was, you know, your boyhood club you're going up against next. How are you feeling about that, and potentially having a say in where the title goes? And he, of course, was batting me back with a very professional line of, "We're going to take this seriously. We're going to go for it." But you could just sense a little bit of, if this is confirmed and we've got seventh, maybe we don't need to as much.
Title race. Tell me what your thoughts are.
I was so certain after Vincent Kompany's goal, that is it. Ooh, done and dusted. Goodbye. Good night, everyone. Manchester City are going to win the title, because Brighton, they're safe. They've really been pretty poor the last few weeks, and I can't see Manchester City not beating them. But after that Champions League game with Liverpool, I just think something might happen. I don't think so, because as you say, Wolves will give them a game.
Yeah,
Wolves' record against the top six is unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it goes out the window for this, though. I can honestly see Liverpool, off the back of the confidence of that result this week as well, just feeling invincible. Yeah. You're going to have that feeling of, I don't care who we take on, we'll take on the world.
But it's less about Liverpool and more about City.
Yes, so exactly what you're saying, because I think Liverpool, they could end up winning 4-0, 4-1 against Wolves. But City will do the same. And I can't see City not getting two or three goals.
The only thing is, if Brighton put in a sort of performance like they did, was it against Wolves?
Yes.
When they drew 0-0.
Yeah, but we were on top in that. We should have definitely won that game.
But if they managed to ride their luck like that, I mean, that's going to have to be the result, isn't it? It's going to be a 0-0.
Well, maybe that's what comes into play here, Lady Luck. You know, if City are dominating but hitting the post, you know, maybe you just have a day where the goalkeeper's making save after save.
Yeah.
Well, if Matt Ryan has one of those days, then maybe it just comes down to that.
Well, as we savour, of course, the last taste of Premier League football this season, players that have gone under the radar, who do we need to give a shout out to at this point in the season?
For me, I've got a couple. My favourite one is Luka Milivojevic from Crystal Palace. You got that one as well.
I just pointed to it on my pad.
He has played every single minute of the Premier League this season.
Awesome.
He's got 19 Premier League penalties scored since he joined 18 months ago, 10 this season. It's just the perfect combination, isn't it? Wilfried Zaha wins the penalties, he sticks them away.
Mr. Reliable.
Exactly. My other one is Mikel Antonio, purely for his celebrations. And I'm at Watford against West Ham on the final day.
Oh, and I can't wait
if he scores to see what he pulls out the bag.
There is something between Robin and I here in terms of thinking, because who have I got written down there?
Antonio, West Ham. Well. But you've got about 20 others.
I have got
well.
Other ones. Do you want me to like whistle through who I've got on other teams?
Give me five.
Bolly at Wolves, who I think goes, you know, you talk about defenders, he goes unnoticed sometimes. Toby Alderweireld, Spurs.
Yeah.
You know, so much was made of him about two or three seasons ago. Don't really talk about him as much. I think he's been a stalwart. Iwobi at Arsenal has been their standout player for me. McTominay at Man United sums up Man United. And when I've seen them this season, he has been one of the standout players. Ricardo at Leicester, I'm going to give a mention to.
Yep.
Ake and Zuma at Bournemouth. I'm really favouring defenders here, but I think they go under the radar anyway. And let's finish off with the top two. I'm going to say, in terms of all the plaudits and everyone who over the course of the season has either won a player of the match or had a great match report, how about these as ones that go a little unnoticed? Laporte at Man City, Zinchenko, who I think has been a fabulous addition. And at Liverpool, they're starting to get more now off the back of this week, but Wijnaldum and Henderson.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for giving me five, by the way, Lindsay. Where are you going to be on the last day of the season?
I'm at Palace versus Bournemouth. So hopefully seeing exactly what Robin told you up as the heart teeing up Milivojevic to just score another penalty.
And Robin, you mentioned you're at Watford.
Yeah, Watford against West Ham. So, yeah, not the game of the day, but hopefully with the wood goals.
Oh, I will be watching this one closely, I can tell you. Okay, let's move on to a very brief any other business. First things first, I think after last week's shocker, I found us a new theme tune. You ready?
Yeah. Any other business, any other business, any other business. Brilliant. Is that going to be our new any other business theme tune?
Maybe not. Maybe I'll have to try out a few. Robin, what do you
jingle.
Think of that for
Love
quality?
It. Love it. I mean, it's going to be in my head now for the rest of the day, so thanks for that.
Lindsay, how could we nearly have met Michael Douglas?
I can't believe this. So you may have remembered that we were harping on about voting for us in the Webby Awards. So we didn't make it to the final, which would have been in, was it New York?
Yes.
Yeah. New York. Newark.
What Newark?
Coffee. I'm trying my best. Coffee. I'm really awful at accents. Anyway, we could have been going out to New York, and we got an email this week, which I'm sure you got the same, saying that Michael Douglas is being honoured, and we could have met Michael Douglas. So I sent a message on the group saying we were so close to meeting him. But there is a story to Michael Douglas that my best friend will appreciate, because once we went to a charity do, and you know when they do, especially when you go to sports dinners and auctions and they have signed pictures of people, the most inappropriate picture of Michael Douglas was there that just made us laugh
what
and
was
howl.
He doing?
It was a screenshot of him in Basic Instinct when he looked, you know which one I'm talking about. And it was signed of him like that. We couldn't believe it was being given.
They chose that one.
We couldn't believe it was being given away. And when I saw how close we were getting to him, I thought, I wish I'd bought it. I could have presented him with it in New York.
Robin, anything to shout about this week? Oh, but apart
I can't
from,
really top that.
No, but can I just raise a little CV query here? Lindsay Hooper tells me that you were a trainee solicitor.
Yes.
Were you?
For about one day. Completed a law degree, went back to do the solicitor's training course, but by that time I'd completed a summer scheme at my local radio station. And I just thought, this is not for me.
The rest is history.
And there we go, yeah. Didn't go down too well with the parents, I'm going to be honest, but it's all worked out in the end.
Well, I can top you. I spent one day selling T-shirts and mugs in the Trocadero Centre on Piccadilly Circus with people's personalised pictures on them. There we go.
One day
I lasted.
Wow.
It was a brutal world of sales that I did not want to get into.
Speaking of brutal world, before we let Robin leave us, being a commentator, there's only yourself really and Vicky Sparks and Jackie Oatley that commentate regular. And in terms of regular female voices that we get to hear, first of all, match of the day, did you get the quivers the first time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, because it's such an institution. It was. It's just crazy. And it's such an honour and a privilege. And to be fair to the BBC, they've, me and Vicky in particular, because we've come up together, they've really nurtured us and kind of eased us in. They didn't throw us in. Mm. And we're doing it every week because I couldn't handle that because it's quite stressful.
And did it help you having each other? Was that a ploy to make sure that you,
I think
the two
so,
of you?
Yes. Yeah. So the pressure is taken off. It's not just on one of us. Yeah. So it's been brilliant. And yeah, and like just like with everything, practice. Every time I do it, I feel more confident. So yeah, it's been great.
Lovely. I love hearing
you. I really,
you.
Really like that. And I look forward to hearing much more of you throughout the summer at the Women's World Cup as well. Well, that's it for another Offside Rule. Please do hit subscribe on your various devices to make sure you get each episode as soon as it's launched. That's every Friday morning, by the way. Give us a 5-star review, please, on Apple Podcasts. Lindsay Hooper, it's over to you today. Ooh. To tell us how.
What you have to do, just in my best Hayley McQueen, is you have to just hit the last star. So we want 5 stars. We want a nice little comment. I think we got another new one this week. Abby's nodding her head.
Yes, we have this from The Yes Game. Only been listening a few weeks, but now one of my favourite podcasts. Covers all aspects of football, giving most attention to whatever needs it that week. Can it be longer though? An hour?
It probably will be this week.
It probably will be. In the meantime, be sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Offside Rule Pod for both. Check out the website too, offsiderulepodcast.com, for all our latest articles and musing. And there's stuff going up, by the way, previews going up for the Women's World Cup there, as well as us, of course, rounding up the end of the season in the various leagues. Lindsay Hooper, thank you very much. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Robin Cowan, I think this has been a sensational debut for you.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's only as good as your teammates, you know.
Oh, well, we will have you back anytime. Thanks, both.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
The Offside Rule is a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com.